Good morning. Welcome to Baran Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Today is our monthly celebration of gratitude, the Lord's Supper. And that's a time when, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we look back to the cross to remember the ultimate sacrifice that the Lord accomplished in service to us. And when you look back at the cross, I wonder what you see. I see destiny. In our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who are in Christ have a past. Luke chapter 22, verse 19 says this, "And when the Lord Jesus Christ had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his apostles, saying, 'This is my body, which is given instead of you. Keep on doing this in remembrance of me.'" Our past reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrificial an unconditional love for us. In our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who are in Christ have a present. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, "And the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to them all, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, some of you will and some of you won't, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" In our present, right now, on this day, we are to enjoy the tribulation the Lord has given for our benefit. As believers in Christ, we are not looking for comfort, because comfort is our enemy. Instead, we're looking for tribulation, the pressure that the Lord gives us that helps us grow. The Lord laid down his life for us, conquered death for us, conquered sin for us, so that we can live right now, and none of that was comfortable for him. And we believers in Christ are children of the living God. Job chapter 19, verse 25 says this, "As for me, Job, I know that my Redeemer lives, the one who purchased me from the slavery of the law, the slavery of sin, the slavery of the old man, the slavery of personal sinning. I know that my Redeemer, my purchaser, lives, and that at the last he will take his stand on the earth. At the second coming, the Lord Jesus Christ will lay his feet on the earth." Our present reminds us to embrace the turbulence of the tribulation in our lives, because it is part of being a Christian. In our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who are in Christ have a future. Luke chapter 22, verse 20 says, "And in the same way the Lord Jesus took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Our future is dictated by a blood oath and by the Lord's promises that all of us believers in Christ have a destiny. And that's what I see when I look back at the cross, a destiny. John chapter 6, verse 40 says this, "For this is the will of my Father," this is Jesus talking, "this is the will of God the Father, that everyone who beholds the Son," everyone who believes in his person, in other words, "and everyone who believes in him will have eternal life," the resurrection life, the Zoe life, "and I myself," the Lord Jesus Christ, "will personally raise them up in resurrection from the dead on the last day." Our future includes a glorious resurrection from the dead and a wedding feast with the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our groom. He is the groom, and we are the bride of Christ as church age believers. The groom who takes away the sins of the world. Welcome to the celebration of our past, our present, and our future. The monthly celebration of our destiny in union with the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God prepares our memories for reflection, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song comes from God's perspective, and it is called "When I Say I Love You." Thank you, June. That's one of my favorite songs ever in life. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to remember you today and continue to teach us the significance of being in Christ. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. The Lord's Supper celebration, the spiritual progression stage called destiny. The spiritual progression stage called destiny. What is the spiritual progression that Jesus offered us through his cross? Well, first, he offered us a design. Then he offered us death. Then he offered us destiny. Then he offered us dearth. Then he offered us the divine. So we continue our look at the five stages of spiritual progression in our Lord's Supper celebration. If, as you look back at the cross, you're really thinking about all the things Jesus Christ and his cross has done for us, you'll see this spiritual progression of the five different stages in the Lord's offer to his creatures: design, death, destiny, dearth, and the divine. And within each of these stages, you will see a death followed by a life. In this Lord's Supper celebration, we look at the Lord's provision of a destiny as part of our spiritual progression. And I think that's something that we need to note as Christians, that there's always death followed by life. You know, we really need to accept and get it that there are a lot of things in our life that just need to die. You know, we were talking about that in the last lesson. You know, one of the things that needs to die is you combining your performance and your person. It needs to die. And when it does, what's on the other side of it? Life. What does Satan tell you is on the other side of it? Oh, the great unknown. The great unknown. But Jesus says, no, it's not the great unknown. It's life. Put this crap that you're doing to death, and what I guarantee you on the other side is what? Life, not the great unknown. You see the fear monger? Oh, the great unknown. And isn't it too bad that you can't change? And isn't it too bad your personality and your performance are the same? And isn't it too bad that you have an identity that you can never overcome? And isn't it too bad about what your mom did to you when you were a kid? But that's not our truth. So in this Lord's Supper celebration, we're going to look at the Lord's provision of a destiny as part of our spiritual progression. But first, a few announcements. Mark your calendars after today, the next celebration of the Lord's Supper, January 11, 2015. Happy New Year, y'all! Mark your calendars. An afternoon lesson next week and the Christmas celebration, December 21st, 2 p.m. to 3:30 Mountain Standard Time. The Christmas celebration. Mark your calendars. We will have face-to-face teaching December 28th. We'll have one lesson from 9 a.m. to 10:15 a.m. We visit the vets on December 28th as well at 1:45 p.m. Please join us. If you haven't ever done that, that's one of the most fun things that we do here at Barah Ministries. Be sure to get your friends to like Barah Ministries on Facebook. We're building a community. There are over 26 people that have signed up to be a part of our online community. Get your friends to join too, because in the new year we're going to have some really fun things in store for them. Happy birthday to Maureen Slowbig, one of the most valued members of the Barah Ministries community. She must have been celebrating too badly last night, couldn't join us today, and I was going to sing, "How old are you now? How old are..." But she's not here. Is she in Aruba? Yeah, no. Well, unless she went to Aruba. Where did she say she was? The Caymans. The Caymans. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, exactly. You've seen one island, you've seen them all, right? Norbert? All right, let's take the offering. And this is the time when you get to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world that can't afford to pay for the study of the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge via the internet or face-to-face, and let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one of us must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful, grace-oriented giver. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Thank you very much. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so that you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. So we appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourselves and for others. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. So it's funny that we talk about separating the person from the performance and, you know, Satan's influence in our lives. And, you know, now that I'm a dad, I'm so worried about my own son's destiny. And I'm worried about, I know that he's going to have many deaths in his lives, and how is he going to face those? So it makes me think about each and every one of you is going to go through those on a daily basis. And there's points in your life where those deaths are going to be much harder. And they're usually at the younger ages when you don't have the confidence in God. You don't have the confidence in yourself. Because Satan has done exactly that. He's connected the person with the performance. And that's slavery to us. Because when he does that, we have choices after that which amplify that person being connected to the poor performance. I mean, you have so many choices. As you're growing up, you can play sports, basketball, football, golf. You know, you can get into hobbies. You can get into RC cars. You can get into art. You can get into so many things. We're just spread so thin that you forget about God. And those, I think, were bogged down even more after choices by the certain deaths that are required to get out of those things if they're not good for us. Because we're stuck. Because we don't want to expand our comfort zone. We want to just stay right in our comfort zone, and that's what Satan loves, because he knows we just want to put our feet up. I remember growing up, I always thought, you know, once I get through college, I'll be able to just relax, I'll be in a career, but there's just going to be more deaths and more problems. It's not like you ever get to put your feet up. You just get better at handling them because of coming here to church, because of what we offer, truth, an unchanging truth from an unconditional, loving God. You know, I talked about the different issues or the different options in life, careers, hobbies, family issues, health issues, and then there's sins. And that's what really ties us down ultimately is sins, because we think we can do it. We're just scums, you know. We're like Pastor says, he puts the worst up front. So I'm right there with him. You know, the other day at Costco, I have my little loop. I know exactly how to get through there fast. You go to the outside and you cruise through. I stand on the cart and cruise, and I got up to the front. Clear line. I'm clearly in front of these people, but I notice it's a man pushing a lady in a wheelchair who's pushing a cart. And I'm 30 feet in front of them, clearly ahead. And I thought, you know, I'm in a hurry right now. I'm going to keep going. Normally I would back off and, you know, go ahead. And I didn't. I got up in the line and I didn't have very much to be quick. They went to the line to the right of me, and wasn't about 2 seconds in the line, they do a drawer change at my drawer. And they got to count through $1,000 worth of money. Oh, that's fine. Go ahead. Just over there looking. They're done. They're out. That could have been me. You know, I had a choice right there, but I was in my comfort zone. I didn't want to be slowed down. So I stayed right there, and they were gone. And I was like, next time I'm letting them in front. So the funny thing is, you know, of course Satan tries to bog us down with slavery, but there's always a solution through God. And that's focus, just like Paul had. I mean, how could you murder Christians and then be asked to teach them? Who would want to do that? Who would step into that? I wouldn't. I would stay at home. I'd say, no thanks. I'm an atheist now, and I'm good. But, you know, just like Paul, we see in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said that my aim is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And connecting to that, Romans chapter 6, verse 5, for if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So just like Pastor's saying, that, you know, there's always going to be deaths, but there's always a new life. There's a new resurrection in Christ. You know, we are the children of a king, so let's live like it. Let's know that our finances, they're never going to run out. Our talents are never going to run out. And let's not worry about our choices, because God's right there helping us make that choice. When we make the choice, he's going to help us through that choice. He's never going to, you know, he's never going to, no one snatches us out of his hand. So, you know, I don't need to worry about my son. There's going to be, he's going to bump his head. He's going to break his arm. He's going to hurt himself. And those are little deaths, but there's always going to be a life. He's going to learn from it. And I'm going to use my knowledge of those deaths and help him through. You know, don't worry, like, should I play basketball? Should I play football? Pick one you're good at and stick with it. You know, it's one of those things where you get so worried that, oh, I should do this, I should do that, and you get into something, and then you always wonder, should I have done that? Well, play it out. You've already have an expertise, like Pastor said. You're already working on talent. You're already working on a lot of effort there, and why throw it away? So in the same way, you know, we've put a lot of effort into this place. So let's just stick it out, dioko, and push on. Amen. Fight the good fight. So thank you for all you've done and all that you give. And let's hear the offering song.
Love that song. So thank you, Deacon Denny. I'm laughing about the Costco experience, because I think God allows those kind of situations so you can sit in the decision and really take a look at how what you do really makes a difference to other people and how other people are looking at you all the time. The other day on the golf course, I told an off-color joke. And the guy I was with said, you know, it was laced with expletives, much like you might imagine on a golf course. And the guy said, boy, I don't think that one's going to go over real well when you tell it to the congregation, huh, Rory? And, you know, so, I know he was busting my chops, but the point was made. The point was made is the point that was made is that people are looking at you all the time. And, you know, they're holding you to a standard in their head. And especially when you're a pastor. You know, and I think we need to not underestimate that. It'd be easy to write off that comment and say, yeah, well, shut up, because, you know, I'm a human just like everybody else and blah, blah, blah. But he was telling me that he wanted me to perform to a higher standard than that. That's a great message. I appreciated it. And so a lot of times those kinds of things happen where you get, you know, you tell a joke like that, somebody makes a comment like that, and then you get to look in the mirror, hey, pastor, how'd you like that joke? Or, hey, deacon, how'd you like that choice you just made? So thanks for sharing that. And by the way, we appreciate your offerings, but especially now a lot, because we've been making a lot of changes here at Barah Ministries, and those changes have been quite expensive. So we've got a new video and audio system. We just got a new kitchenette for the back area. Can you turn the camera around so that they can see back there at all? Can you do that? Okay, good. So I just want to thank Denny and Larry for orchestrating what's going on in our facility here. It's really terrific. So give them a hand. I think very, very shortly we're going to figure out some places to store the stuff that we have in the little room back there. We're going to have a room, nursery with speakers in it, so that moms who want to bring their kids here can do so back there. And then in February we're going to start some teen lessons, because we got some teens here in the congregation that I want to get straightened out. And I'm really looking forward to that. Oh yeah, that's going to be fun. That's going to take me back to my roots. And next year we're going to put out quite a few publications of a shorter nature and really start getting the things that we provide to the community in place, so that we can go out into the community and be ready to welcome people into this beautiful place so they can hear the beautiful truth of the Word of God and restore the faith that some people have lost in the institutions like the church and in the people like pastors and deacons and congregation members, and show this community that there is a welcoming group of people who wants them to be part. And so I expect a lot of changes for us in the next year. So the Lord's Supper celebration is what's at hand right now, and that is the spiritual progression stage called destiny. When you look back at the cross, what do you see? Because I see a destiny. Part one of the Lord's spiritual progression is design. Design always demands a designer. And God the Father has designed a perfect and personal plan for his imperfect creatures. And design means that a billion years ago, God the Father created a plan for your life personally. He has always had you in his mind by name. And there never was, nor will there ever be, a time when he doesn't have you in his mind by name. And I wonder how often you call that to mind in the midst of your tribulation. Acts chapter 2, verse 23, this man, Jesus Christ, was delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God the Father. And you nailed him to a cross by the hands of godless men, unbelievers, and put him to death. Part two of the Lord's spiritual progression is death. God the Father allows little deaths to conform us to the image of his Son, just as he allowed his Son to be crushed on our behalf at the cross. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 says, but the Lord, and this is a reference this time to God the Father, was pleased to crush the Lord Jesus Christ, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering instead of us. And he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord God the Father will prosper his hand. You know, since we're in union with Christ, that applies to us too. That God the Father will prosper our hand. Part three of the Lord's spiritual progression is destiny. Our destiny can be summed up in two words: in Christ. What is your destiny as a believer in Christ? You are completely sufficient in Christ. A believer in Christ could never be mistaken as unworthy. A believer in Christ could never be hopeless, because we are in Christ. We just forget. That's all. We just forget that we're children of a king. Do you ever feel worthless? Do you ever feel powerless? Do you ever feel helpless? Good. Because when you feel that way, you aren't just responding to Satan's accusations that you are worthless and powerless and helpless, although Satan does send those messages to bring you down. You're also in touch with, at that moment, your true self. For you are worthless and powerless and helpless in the flesh. Or at least you were until the Lord Jesus Christ gave you a destiny called in Christ. When God the Holy Spirit picked you up at the moment of salvation and placed you into union with Christ, you are forever no longer worthless, no longer powerless, no longer helpless or hopeless. Watchman Nee, a Bible teacher who established churches throughout China to train Bible students and church workers, following the communist revolution in China, was imprisoned for his faith. And he spent the last 20 years of his life in prison. I wonder if you could imagine what that would be like, to be put in jail because you believe in Christ. And then to spend 20 years, 365 days times 20 plus 4 or 5 other days for the leap years, because you believe in Christ. Well, here is his prayer in the midst of that tribulation. He called on the power of being in Christ. And I wonder if when you're experiencing tribulation, if you call on the power of being in Christ, the power of the child of a king. Here's what he said. He said, "Lord, I am faced with a situation today that I cannot possibly meet. My enemy, the devil, has brought it about to set up my downfall. But I praise you that your victory is an all-inclusive victory and covers this situation too. And I praise you that I already have full victory in the matter." Does that sound like a prayer of someone who is hopeless? Does that sound like a prayer of somebody who is helpless? I'm axing you. Does that sound like the prayer of somebody who is powerless? No. You know why? Because at the moment he felt all those things, he chose from his own volition to remember who he really is, a king, a child of a king. It's awesome. In China. So in Christ, we are completely sufficient, powerful beyond measure. And today, you're going to hear more about why you have a destiny from God in this Lord's Supper celebration. So let's start this by enjoying the elements and following God's request. We keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, the voluntary sacrificial love that he expressed at the cross on our behalf. And we are grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this: "I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is and keeps on being my body, which is being broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me.'" So when we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this: "In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, 'This cup is a new testament, a new covenant, forged with my blood, a blood oath. Keep on doing this celebration, and as often as you do it, as often as you drink from this cup, do that for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you eat drink from this cup, you will be proclaiming the Lord's death, the significance of it, until he comes." So when we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you enjoy the elements, the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. Give thanks to the Lord now and always as you listen to the Lord's Supper song.
Thanks with a grateful heart. give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Welcome back. So the Lord's Supper celebration, the spiritual progression called destiny. At the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ had to deal with three things on behalf of all of us who were born in Adam. He handled the person, he handled the plant, and he handled the product. So who is the person that the Lord handled at the cross? The old man. So June, you're going to have to change that in one of your songs where you said the old self. You're going to have to change that to the old man. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. It says that in reference to your former manner of life, this is believers in Christ, the former matter of life is a reference to the time when you were in Adam, born into Adam, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. See, the old man is your human nature. Isn't it funny how to hear a Christian talk about human nature? It's funny to hear a Christian talk about human nature because the human nature of a Christian was crucified at the cross and it's dead. So they're referring back to a dead thing. And it is also called, you know, we call the old man our human nature, our Adamic nature. But the old man is dead as it relates to believers in Christ. Yet he still makes noise. He still raises his ugly head and makes noise. Yet at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ rendered the old man powerless by putting it to death. I can't wait to get to Romans chapter 7, because in the first five verses of that, it talks about the idea that we were married to this old man and now we're divorced. But isn't it funny that we're always referring back to the thing that we're divorced from? You are no longer the old man. The old man is dead. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Don't lie to one another, since you laid aside the old man with its evil practices." That is dead. Take it off like clothing and burn the clothes. You are now the new man, and he is your new destiny. You're a new person. You're the child of a king. You are not the child of the kingdom of darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ," first class condition if and it's true, "if anyone is in union with Christ," and all believers in Christ are, "he is a new creature." He is a new spiritual species. The old thing is completely dead. See, God didn't polish the old man to make the new man. He killed the old man and gave you a totally new man, different, not better. "Therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ," and all believers are, "he is a new creature. The old man things passed away. The new self things have come." It's time for you to get to know your new self. That's the person that the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with at the cross. The plant that the Lord handled at the cross is sin. And I don't know whether that term, the plant, resonates with the young people in the congregation. But if you've got one of these, it was made in a manufacturing plant. It started off as a little board, and then it was surrounded by a cover and glass, and there all the internal workings are in there, and it was made at a manufacturing plant. So this is a product that was made at a manufacturing plant. Well, you have a manufacturing plant inside of you as well, and it's called sin. It is a manufacturing plant of evil. And what does a manufacturing plant do? It produces products, like an assembly line. One after another comes off the assembly line, products. So sin is the authority that reigns over the unbeliever. When you were in Adam, sin was your authority, not Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, "Therefore, the spiritual plan of salvation by one single Redeemer is based on the same principle as the human plan, that just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, the manufacturing plant, sin entered the world, and then death entered the world through sin. The product of the manufacturing plant is death. And so death spread to all men because all men were considered by God to have sinned when Adam sinned. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, for if by the transgression by the one, Adam, death reigned as king through the one, and it did, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign as king in the resurrection life through the one, Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord killed the old man and tore down the manufacturing plant called sin at the cross, so that those would not be a burden to you. We're born with the burden of Adam's sin. It's not our fault, but it is our circumstance at physical birth. Yet the work of Christ at the cross puts sin to death for all mankind once and for all time, for believers and unbelievers alike, but especially for believers in Christ who have decided to take advantage of Christ's work at the cross. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, sin shall not be master over you believers in union with Christ. Why? Because you're not under the law. You are under grace. Satan wants us to think that we're under the law. Satan wants us to think that we're under rules instead of under freedom. We're not under rules. We're under freedom. What does that mean? I'm going to talk to you about that on December 28th. I'm going to talk about what God's requests are, what God's commands are. And there is a mood in the Greek language called the imperative mood. And it's the mood of command, like a drill sergeant giving you a command. But it is always a request of free will. A command, a rule, a standard is always a request of free will. Here's what makes sense. Do what you want to do. And there are only two choices, the right one and the wrong one. What's the right one? The one that is most supportive of you. What's the wrong one? The one that is designed to destroy you. But it's your choice. And bummer that it is, nobody can make that choice for you. Bummer that it is. All right, so God handled the person. God handled the manufacturing plant. And then products come out of the manufacturing plant. What is the product that the Lord handled at the cross? The flesh. This body of corruption, the flesh, that is the product produced by the manufacturing plant of evil. It is the visible manifestation of sin, and it's called personal sinning. For from the flesh, it is the product of the self-life. When you think of self more than others, what's going to come from that? A choice from the flesh, that part of you that absolutely hates God to death. And that'll be one of the great questions you get to ask God.
Yes, my son?
God, I heard that you is all powerful. Omnipotent. Is that true?
Yes, it is, my son.
Well, if you're so powerful, why didn't you get rid of the flesh when you made us believers in Christ? If you wanted us to do good stuff, why didn't you just get rid of that irritating part of us?
My son, did you read 2 Corinthians chapter 12?
Yeah, I visited it a couple of times. Yeah, well, it tells you right there, my grace is sufficient for you, for divine power is perfected in human weakness. And therefore, you should rather boast about your weaknesses, that the power of Christ might dwell in you. Amen. And then Jesus would say, yeah, so don't bring that stuff up in here. You see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I just said, Norbert?
I go through it.
You know, when you get home, you can download it and just... All right, no more accents, okay? I promise that. I can't promise that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident." That's what believers do after salvation. We sin after salvation. And it's called the deeds of the flesh. And there's a whole list in that part of Galatians that goes into the list of the deeds of the flesh. And you'll notice that those deeds of the flesh are the same thing that we could have done as an unbeliever. Yet we're not the same as we were when we were unbelievers, because we're in union with Christ and righteous and saints and holy and blameless and redeemed and justified and expiated and sanctified and all those other cool things that unbelievers aren't. So the Galatians verse goes on to give a list of the deeds of the flesh. And even though as believers in Christ we are dead to the flesh, we can do the deeds of the flesh. And in fact, we enjoy revisiting the past. Why? Because we want to be comfortable with what we've done. And we're afraid because Satan has instilled us with a fear of moving forward to a new and unlimited and free life where we make free will choices. Powerful free will choices. Romans chapter 8, verses 8 to 10. It's not what God wants us to do. He does not want us to engage in the deeds of the flesh. He says, "And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." That's unbelievers. They can't please God because their king is sin. However, Romans 8, 9, "You believers in Christ are not in the flesh. You are in pneumati. You are in the Spirit, if indeed the Holy Spirit of God indwells you," and it does. "But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ indwelling him," and some don't, that's unbelievers, "this person does not belong to God. He is in Adam, not in Christ." Romans 8:10, "If Christ is indwelling you," and he is, believers in Christ, "though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And there is your choice. Keep doing the deeds of the flesh or do the deeds of righteousness." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. "We believers in Christ too, all of us, formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the desires of the mind. And all of us were by nature children of wrath." That's what we were born as. Children of wrath, with sin as our king. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, "I, Paul, know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the willing to not do good is present in me, but the doing of good is not present in me." For all those people who think, well, mankind's basically good. No, they aren't. The Bible says they aren't. It says we aren't. It says we're basically horrible were it not for Christ. Now, by dealing with these three monsters, the old man, sin, and the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ gave all who wanted a destiny called in Christ. In Christo Jesus. And through his word, he is teaching those of us who want to learn all the things that are already ours in Christ. See, you are not a work in progress in the Christian way of life. You are not a work in progress. You are completely sufficient right this moment. It doesn't get any better than it is right this moment. You're complete in Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 says so, "And to know the unconditional love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." That's you, Christians. You are filled up to all the fullness of God. We are filled up. There is no need for you to help God with your works. There's a really good reason why it's fantastic that the Lord does not allow you to earn your salvation. Why he does not allow you to save yourself, and that's because your salvation is no better than its source. And the source of your salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ, the immutable, all-powerful, omnipresent, omniscient, loving, just, righteous one. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. "The God who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, saved us
not on the basis of deeds we've done in self-righteousness, but according to his mercy. By the washing of regeneration, we are born again. And by the renewing, through the agency of God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. We are alive in Christ, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God the Father made you alive together in union with Christ, having forgiven us all our transgressions. How many of our transgressions? All. Don't think about your sins anymore, please. We are made new in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You've seen this before. If anyone is in union with Christ, he is a new spiritual species. The old things, the old man things have passed away. Behold, new man things have come. We bear fruit in Christ. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, the agriculture analogy. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, God the Father is the vine, and the branch is the Lord Jesus Christ. So neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the vine, and you believe, I'm sorry, God the Father is the vine dresser. God the Father owns the vineyard. The Lord Jesus Christ is the vine. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the vine, and you believers in Christ are the branches. When we were saved, we were grafted onto his vine. And all of our power is coming from that vine through means of sap. And that sap is the enabling power of God, the Holy Spirit, who keeps on pouring his power into us. That you believers in Christ are the branches. He who abides in union with me, branch connected to the vine, and I in union with him, he bears much fruit. Grapes, the production, divine good production. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What are you trying to do on your own? You ever hear somebody say that? I want to do it on my own. Why would you ever do that? Why would you ever do anything on your own when you could have the sovereign of the universe doing it for you? Do you honestly believe that doing it on your own is better than having God do it for you? Absolutely not. See, your destiny in Christ, however, is a cross. Your destiny in Christ is tribulation. Mostly of your own manufacture, but it leads to a life of hope. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, we've studied this in detail. We not only exalt in all these things, our past, righteousness and justification, our present, peace, God has nothing against us, our future, glory, but we also keep on being exalted by God the Father in our tribulations that are given to us by God the Father, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character. Proven character brings about hope. In Greek, that means absolute confidence. And hope, absolute confidence, does not disappoint because the unconditional love of God the Father has been poured out within our hearts through God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us by God the Father. Father, thanks for Christ. Father, thanks for Christ, your indescribable gift. And thank you for our destiny in Christ. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, when God makes a promise, it's a guarantee. Do not fear. Stop fearing. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God the Father, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you. God considers your problems to be his responsibility. And God gives you a destiny.
I've known you for an eternity.
just made for you since before the beginning of time. I only want what's best for you. I'll work all things for good because I know you love me, child. This must be understood. I'll lead you to your destiny. Come take my hand and follow me. Just trust in me. Come taste and see that there is none, no one like me, who will lead you to and be to you your destiny. I am the lover of your soul, protector, valiant knight. I'll caress you, hold you near through all your days and night. My banner over you is love. You are my precious bride. I died and rose to live again. I'll never leave your side. I'll lead you to your destiny. Come take my hand and follow me. Just trust in me. Come taste and see that there is none, no one like me, who will lead you to and be to you. I will dry your tears and calm your fears. I won't let you go. I love you so. I'll come back one day and take you.
Thanks, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your word, and we thank you for giving us a destiny, a series of decisions that you give us as a request to our free will, which all added up, turns into a destiny. Thanks for giving us a destiny in union with Christ. Thank you for giving us a destiny in absolute righteousness. And thank you for asking us to step up our games and to live life the way you intended. And thanks for being our guide and our coach, our leader, our mentor, our teacher. And thank you for providing all the resources we would ever need to be the phenomenal person that you put us here to be. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit. They're an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your magnificent person, your crystal clear and absolute thinking, your work, your essence. And we ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening.